I would ask that if you can, you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be reading from Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to the message that you have for us here this morning so we can use that to do your bidding. In his Son's holy and powerful name I pray. Amen.
So, Brianna, clarification. These are new socks that you want, right? I know we knew that, but that's, I had to say that. I want to commend Pastor Nelson for putting together the series on the book of Jude. And I've shared my thoughts with him as to what a great job he's done. If you have not heard every message in this series, it is online. You can go to the church website, and I invite you to go and listen. Listen to each message because it fits together very, very well. So I wanted to put out that little public service announcement and tell you that, I'm going to listen to them all over again. Because when you can listen to like one after another, take notes and what have you, that's helpful. Which leads me to say something else. You can receive a handout, a one-page, one-side, sort of a notes, sermon notes. And if you want to receive that, mention something to our secretary. Now, she's not here today. She's watching her grandchildren who are sick, so... you could maybe text her and let her know that you'd like to be included in that list. Because I have found in listening to Pastor Nelson, because every word matters in his delivery, that when you have those notes in front of you, you actually can follow a little better with it all. Because it's another entry gate to the information rather than just our hearing. All right, so I wanted to just put that out there. So, what were your now you don't have to answer this publicly. I wondered, what were your expectations when you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? Now, granted, some have made that decision early in life and maybe don't remember the exact moment in time or the event or the Sunday school teacher that might have led you to Jesus, but you know that you know the Lord. But for those of us that was we remember the moment, and it was a moving emotional moment when we accepted the Lord as our Savior. I wonder what might have been your expectations now at that point that you accepted the Lord. Were you expecting life to get better? Were you looking at it from the vantage point of no pushback from family and friends, that life would become not necessarily a bed of roses, as the saying goes, but that it might, that, you know, it should get better, right? And maybe you found that not to be the case, that in trusting the Lord, things got a little tougher. You lost maybe some friends. You found that, now I have a target on my back. Satan is really going to come after me now because I'm a child of the Lord. Well, Jude presents a picture that is very interesting in this book because he said, I wanted to write about salvation to encourage the Jewish people that had scattered due to persecution in that first century. This book was like a circular book, and so it was, shared, and it didn't go to a specific church. And These believers, many of them scattered because of the persecution following Stephen's martyrdom. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. The apostles were still in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem church, but the believers were scattered because of the martyrdom of Stephen and that huge persecution of the early church in Jerusalem. So Jude says, well, no, I feel led to talk about contending for the faith. He says it in verse 3, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to the saints. Which is really descriptive of an athlete that's like trying to really prevail. Maybe it's a wrestling event, it could be a running event, it could be the throwing of the javelin at an Olympic game. But an athlete that's striving to win the prize, to get the victory. And we as believers, in a sense, are contending for the faith. We're standing up against the perversion of the gospel, the sanctioning of immoral behavior, such as these individuals that Jude talks about that crept in as false teachers and misleading the people of God. So contending for the faith, yeah, that makes it sort of a little different picture than just sort of sitting back and enjoying life. It's like, okay, we have a job to do. We have to stand for the truth against misinformation that's out there regarding the Bible, regarding Jesus, and so forth. But Jude also said, but you also need to keep yourself in the love of God. Pastor Nelson had one message that was very clear and very succinct on keeping ourselves in the love of God. In other words, with all of the distractions that are out there and all the varied messages that could cause us to get sidetracked, go down a rabbit trail and find ourselves spiritually in trouble, we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. And he sort of drills down on that a little bit. I think overall it has to do with cultivating a close relationship with the Lord. Keeping ourselves in the love of God, I think, is maybe sort of piggybacking on what Jesus said in John 15, when he said, you know, you need to remain in me, to abide in me, and I then will abide in you. So, you know, it behooves us all to have a close relationship with the Lord. We all have a friend or friends. We all have relatives that we're close to. And in order to cultivate that relationship, in order for that relationship to grow, you need to spend time together. So I think what Jude is saying is spend time with the Savior. Make sure you're within the circumference of his love. Make sure you're functioning within the boundaries that he puts out there for us to live for him. But also, Jude says we need to build ourselves up in the faith. That's reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to wait for the Lord's return. So there's a lot of things we need to be busy about. It certainly doesn't look like we sit on a couch and twiddle our thumbs and wait for the next sunrise to take place. In taking our stand for the truth, in the midst of it all, we are faced with scoffers, those who follow their own ungodly desires. We see that in verse 21. False teachers who deceive, the allurements of the world, fleshly desires, the taunts of the devil. I mean, we coming to know the Lord as our personal Savior did not make life easier for us. In many ways, it made life difficult because of the fact that we're in enemy territory. We're not home yet, all right? We're not home yet. We might sometimes think that this is our home, but it really isn't. You see, we're pilgrims, and we're just passing through. And we need to keep that mindset. So with that as basically a backdrop, our benediction here, our last two verses actually, describe two very, very important things. The first one is that God is able to preserve us. In fact, it's the term keep, I think, that's used here. To him who's able to keep you from falling. There's so many things that can get us off track in our journey of faith. And you're familiar with people that started out well and crashed spiritually. We all know people that are in that particular category. I hope we're still praying for them. I hope we haven't given up on them. They can come back to the Lord. But right now, Satan's got his way with them, it would seem. And maybe they've gotten confused. Maybe somebody has misled them. Maybe they've been disappointed for whatever reason with Christianity. But keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. But here we're encouraged. We're encouraged that in our walk, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that he's promised us that he will keep us from stumbling, from faltering, or from tripping. The possibility, of course, is there that that can happen. It does happen. We can trip over our own feet. we can sometimes lose our way. So the term here that's used has to do with being sure-footed. One author I read, it's like a horse that's sure-footed. When our seminary president, Dr. McCray, would go down into the Grand Canyon every year, he would do that on a regular basis. It was like his go-to place. He would go down on mules. And one seminary chapel meeting, when he sort of rehearsed a little bit of one of his trips, he told us the reason for the mules is because they're sure-footed, and they're not scared of heights, and you can trust that they're, you know, where they place their hooves, it's going to be just right. You just have to hang on as you go. So metaphorically, the term here of not stumbling is actually painting a picture of a person, a believer, who proceeds unfalteringly in the path of truth and doesn't fall into error, doesn't get sidetracked on some of the malarkey that's out there about the Bible, about God, about Jesus, about Christianity, and there's just a whole lot of stuff. I don't have a Facebook account, as you know. If you go on Facebook, there's all kinds of things out there that people say about God. And it can be distressing. Once in a while, I just plug into Doris's Facebook and I see a few things, and then I just shut it down because I don't want to, it can really discourage it. But there's just a lot of stuff out there that can be deflating spiritually. So Jude's figure of speech here of not stumbling implies various disrupting experiences that we encounter in life, but it depicts a life of moral and spiritual victory. One author said, "That which is impossible with men is possible with God, and divine grace can protect Christians against their own frailty." And aren't we all frail? And we're easily misled at times. And there can be sometimes what sounds like a good idea, we buy into it, and we find that the end product or end result or down the road, injurious to my health. So, what are some like disrupting experiences that would cause us to get off track? Well, I think the loss of a loved one can happen. I mean, it does happen. Can cause us to sort of straight arm God and say, you took my loved one from me. I'm not coming to church anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm mad at you, God. I mean, that can be something that sidetracks us. The news from a doctor that we have cancer and it's terminal.
I mean, I just thought of a bunch of things. The loss of a job. I know during COVID, people were losing their jobs all over the place. And it was devastating. And some people would have been tempted, most likely, to turn on God. Like, God, why did you do that? You know, why did you allow that to happen? A wayward son or daughter. You know, I pray that my daughter, my son would honor you. And they're not, Lord. They're not. And I'm upset with you, Lord, that, you know. So there's all kinds of things. Sometimes we're just in the dark with regard to what God's will is and how it's unfolding in our life. And why is God permissively allowing certain things to be encountered? Why do I have a thorn in the flesh, we might say, that just will not go away? Something that just perplexes me and holds me back from being, you know, enjoying the fullness of life. So there's a lot of things that would cause us to stumble and to falter. And the blessing here is, in the promises, God is able. God is able to keep us from faltering against all these things that come upon us throughout our journey in life. I think of what Isaiah said, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." God's track record is impeccably great. And sometimes we find ourselves in a valley and we're not really sure. It's a dark valley. We move amongst the shadows when we're in a valley experience. And sometimes it's hard to even hear the voice of God. Hard to know whether he's there, you know. So we need to trust him because of his track record, his performance in the past, his faithfulness to us. Because in those valley experiences, we're put to the test. We could falter. We could slip. We could slip back spiritually if we're not careful. I asked myself another question on this whole matter of God's power to preserve us. I thought to myself, what might be the correlation to what Jude said when he said, "Keep yourself in the love of God," and this statement that he's able, God is able, to keep us from falling. What's the correlation between the two? And I thought a bit about it, and I thought to myself, you know, this is sort of reminiscent of what Satan tried to tempt Jesus to do. You remember when Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and Satan began to tempt him? And the second temptation was Jesus was taken to the pinnacle of the temple. Don't know how that happened, but he was taken to the pinnacle of the temple and he was told by Satan, if you leap from the pinnacle very high and huge height, grounds way down there, if you leap from the pinnacle of the temple, his angels will be given charge over you. And of course, what Satan did, Satan was aware of the fact that Jesus was referencing scripture, and I had a note here, a tab here, referencing scripture. So this time around, what does Satan do? Satan references, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And in that psalm, the promise is that God's angels will protect you. But Satan left out a phrase, "in all his ways." He will protect you in all his ways. So when you step out of, Jesus knew this, if he were to step out of the will of his heavenly Father, and he would have done that if he would have leaped off the temple mount, that he would have been out of the will of God. He would have been tempting God to protect him prior to the cross. It was another effort on Satan's part to get Jesus to die before the cross. Because if that would have happened, then no redemption, right? But Jesus was ever so wise, And he said, well, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. What was he saying? He was saying that when you step out of the center of the will of God, you are not promised his protective care. That's the whole point, I think, of what Jesus was saying. Doesn't that apply to us? If we stay within the boundaries of his protective care, that we love him, we serve him, we try to obey the Ten Commandments, we try to love one another, we try to do what he has, we try to be obedient, we try to be good children of the King. We try to, honor God. As long as we're doing our very best to honor God, we're within those parameters or boundaries of his protective care. So, yes, stay in the love of God. And when you do that, then you put yourself in a position where God can say that he is going to make sure that your foot does not stumble. Isn't that neat? I think there is a correlation between those two commandments or two statements. If we do our very best to stay in the center of his will and we don't test God by, dabbling in sin or like going in some wrong direction in our life or making some foolish decision that we knew better to make, then we're in the center of his will and we are protected and we will not falter and our foot will not slip. And I just thought to myself, wow, that's something. The second thing I see here is God's power to present. What do I mean by that? Well, the verse is clear. He's able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That's motivating. It's motivating because we can anticipate one day, and Jude sort of alludes to it here, that we're going to be presented as the bride of Christ before God the Father. When God the Father says to Jesus, go get your bride, and he comes back and the rapture takes place and we all wind up in heaven, Jesus is going to present us as his children. Isn't that neat? I mean, he's going to be proud of us. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in perfection, without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's motivating to me. All of us have our flaws. All of us have our struggles. None of us are perfect. We haven't reached that point. But when the time comes that God calls us home, all imperfections are gone, all blemishes are removed, and we are perfect. No Adamic nature. All sins have been forgiven because it under the blood of Christ. And we will be perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. It's motivating because the Savior is going to be joyful. He is going to rejoice over his bride, that us and our brothers and sisters from all over the world, he's going to rejoice, and so will we. It'll be a joyful moment. So I think we have a lot to look forward to. A lot to look forward to. The best is yet to come. And in all of our struggles, in all of our own personal foibles, in the gremlins that sort of attach themselves to us and we wrestle, with those old ways and old habits, and it's all going to be gone. We'll be perfect, totally made whole, totally sanctified, if you will. So in closing, I have to share with you that my wife went shopping. You say, well, how did she do that? Doesn't she have a problem like fainting? Yes. No, she shops now from her phone. So, and I encourage her to do that. I do. She was thinking about Christmas presents, for various people. So she says to me, she said, Bob, you got to look at this. Look at this. Really looks neat. It's a T-shirt. I'd love to get this T-shirt for people. She said, I think this would be a great T-shirt for a lot of people. I said, well, I don't know. How many do you want me to order? Oh, she said, I have a number. I want to make a list of people I want to buy this T-shirt for. So you know what's on the T-shirt? Walking by faith, tripping constantly.
Yeah, walking by faith, and in big words, tripping constantly. I thought, isn't that true? Isn't that true? We're always tripping. We're always tripping. But boy, God loves us. And the Lord is promising that he is not going to make sure that those obstacles and potholes and distractions that come our way are not going to thwart his efforts and his overall plan of presenting us before the Father one day without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He which has begun a good work in you will complete it at that day. Amen. Stay on the right trajectory. Don't go back to the world. Don't give in to all the taunts, all those discouraging things that can cause you to sort of stop reading your Bible and stop praying. And yeah, but you're here. You're here because you're not letting that happen. And I say, let's keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. We're in God's family, and we're not going to get kicked out. Just don't leave. Don't leave, right. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love and your compassion toward us. Thank you for this little book of 25 verses that has just been so meaningful, so helpful to help us just catch a glimpse of the realities that we deal with, spiritually and otherwise. So continue, Lord, to guide us as your people, as a body of believers here at Bethany. And Lord, we just look forward. To what you have in your plans for us. Thank you, Lord, for the guests that are here, for the new families that have been joining us lately. Bless them as well, Lord. And help us, Father, to continue to love one another, be supportive in these tough times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.